And welcome back. The next session, this one, is a session on camera, media, and audio. This is a really exciting session with a lot of really fun demos. And we're gonna jump right into this here. Okay, we're gonna cover a lot of stuff. We're gonna cover opening, editing, saving our photos, and we're gonna edit them with the Nokia Imaging SDK, which is a really great toolkit for applying filters and doing some editing with your photos. So we'll show you how to pull that up and make that work. We're gonna go over capturing images, capturing video using your phone, and very exciting, we have a screen recording API. So you can just turn on screen recording with a really simple couple lines of code and just record your screen right on your application. We're gonna cover video editing, which is also, I think, pretty exciting, the idea of editing video right there on your phone. And then lastly, we'll go over background audio. So, photo editing on Windows Phone. The first step to photo editing is we need to get a photo. And if you're familiar with the camera capture UI from Windows 8, you may be asking, where's the camera capture UI from Windows 8? And it's not available on the phone. Neither is the Windows Phone 8 photo chooser task or camera capture task, although they do still work on the Silverlight version of Silverlight 8.1, not on Windows runtime. Instead, we're using the file open picker. That's the new photo chooser task and video chooser task. This is actually a really cool implementation because it means that we can pull single multiple media files, not just photos or not just videos. And we can take photos and videos. It'll also launch that very familiar photo chooser task UI so that we can take new photos or videos with the camera's built-in UI or the phone's built-in UI. And it covers most of the scenarios that we have with the camera capture UI from Windows 8. And it's available inside of Silverlight as well as Windows runtime APIs. For a little bit more information on the file open picker, you can see our session 13 on sharing. But this one is going to cover it just as it applies to camera
session
picture.
10.
Session 10? Oh, man.
Yep.
This is just,
I moved it around. It's my fault.
This is just as it applies to photos and videos.
Yep.
So in order to get the access we need to make sure we have full media library I/O access. And that means going into our AppX manifest and turning on our pictures library, turning on our videos library. And if we're going to pull pictures or videos from the SD card, we're going to want to turn on removable storage as well. The read-write access, the photos and videos, we can pull photos and videos without using any sort of intermediary shell UI, and we can do that just by using the known folders. And we covered known folders in our storage session, but we can use those known folders, pull those images, pull those videos straight into our application without doing any sort of intermediary UI. This is also available for Windows runtime and Silverlight applications.
Yeah, so the capability you only need that for that direct programmatic access.
Don't
need it if you're using the file open picker.
Right, so that would be like pressing a button and just getting a photo or getting a list of photos from your UI instead of jumping outside the application to come back in.
Yeah.
For editing photos, in the demo you're going to see we're going to use the Nokia Imaging SDK. It's a really easy to use Imaging SDK that Nokia provides for free. It's got a huge amount of really cool features and samples, lots of filters, lots of effects. You can do crop and resize and rotate. It's incredibly fast and incredibly efficient. And one of the really cool things about the Nokia Imaging SDK is you can pull in like those really high-res images you get off the Nokia 1020, the 41 megapixel images. And it actually has a proprietary technology where it just goes through and it'll When it applies a filter, it'll grab a chunk of the image, apply the filter, another chunk of the image, apply the filter. So it's got a really low memory profile. It's just a great SDK. If you're looking at doing any sort of image editing or filtering on Windows Phone, you should definitely check it out. And it's also great because it's a little cross-platform. It's available for Silverlight and Windows Runtime and Windows applications. We're also going to be using in the demo just a little bit of writable bitmap extensions, which is a great little library that takes the writable bitmap that we have available inside of Windows Phone and just brings it a little bit further, applies some of the availability that we had in older versions of Silverlight and WPF. So it's a great library, and those are the two libraries that we're going to be using to kind of show off some of our editing capabilities. So editing a photo with the Nokia Imaging SDK is pretty simple. We take the image stream that we got from the image that we've pulled into our application, and we just create a new effect. Using a new effect, a filter effect, we hand it that image stream, and then we can define any of the filters that they have available. We hand that that filter into our writable bitmap renderer, along with our a bitmap that we want it to come out for. And then that bitmap, and then we just run that renderer. We can take that bitmap and just apply it straight to an image.source. That image would be a XAML control. And so we're taking the image source of that XAML control and applying the bitmap to it. So take a look at the demo and show a little bit of photo editing in real life here. Okay. We're going to run this, and we're going to look at the file open pick. We're going to pick an image, and we're going to apply a filter, and then we can save that image. So we'll start by show the Okay, so here's my fantastic UI, and I can take a picture. I'm going to actually use the camera to take a picture, and here we have Andy. This is usually what he's doing when I'm doing my sessions.
Caught me asleep.
Right, and so I'll accept that photo and pulls it into the application, and we can apply a filter to it. We can apply the filter again and again.
What's this filter called?
And then it's the antique filter.
Oh, how very appropriate.
And then we can save it and then pick the place where we want to save it. Maybe we'll save it in our pictures folder, and just save it there, and now we've saved the photo. So let's take a look at the code that made this possible. Ah, there we are. Okay, get out of here. There we go, okay. The file open picker, scroll up to the top. Okay, so the file open picker was where we started, and that was it was actually exactly the same file open picker that we've been using, exactly the same way we have been using it before. So what's the difference? What made us go to the images and the pictures and the media files instead of just opening a file? Well, we handed it the supported image file types. We handed it a list of image extensions. And because it has those image extensions, it looks at that and it says, oh, they want images. And so we're going to take them to a place to get some images.
Which is the camera roll.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so then we got our image. We pulled it into our application. And then we wanted to apply that filter effect to it. This is exactly the code we saw in the presentation. We just grabbed that image source, create a new filter effect, apply that filter effect, and then push the resulting bitmap back to our image source. For saving, it was just the same file save picker, and we were able to hand it a location that we wanted it to go to, and that opened up our pictures library we were able to save. So, fairly simple. I like the fact that we get to use the file open picker and the file save picker, two APIs that we're already familiar with, and we just apply it to this sort of special case where we're looking at photos or videos. So jumping from photo capture, or photo grabbing and photo editing, we're going to start looking at, we're going to look at capturing and screen recording. And when we say capturing, what we're talking about is not jumping outside of our application, not going to the phone's UI.
So this is kind of where you're being a camera.
Right. You're acting as the camera yourself, and everything is happening inside of your application. So the Windows.media.capture, Windows Phone 8 provided the Windows.phone.media.capture. There's a lot of namespace discussion that we'll get to at the very end of this session, so kind of bear with it here. Windows.phone.media.capture, using our photo capture device, our audio video capture device, and then we'd apply that to a XAML element for a real-time preview. With Windows Phone 8.1, we use media capture from a slightly different namespace, Windows.media.capture. And it's going to support our low-lag videos of burst mode if we want to take a bunch of videos all at one time. This is going to be the most common API. This is a mostly common API for Windows and Windows Phone. There are a couple phone-only additions because phones are acting more and more like cameras, and phones are certainly more like cameras than tablets tend to be. So the basic capturing concept is that we show our camera stream in our XAML UI, and we use the capture element for Windows runtime apps. Whereas before we would be using a video brush. And in fact, the video brush still exists in the Silverlight 8.1 application. So if you've been using video brush, you need to upgrade, update from your Silverlight 8.0 application, you can update to Silverlight 8.1 and keep that video brush with its media capture preview sync, and all of that code is pretty much still going to work. But the capture element gives us this real-time parameter control, so we can do real-time camera parameter changes like focus and zoom and exposure and that sort of thing. This does mean that we have to go into our AppX manifest and we need to turn on the capabilities for microphone and for webcam because we're using the microphone and the webcam. So a capturing solution for if we initialize media capture, we can see this is good news. With Windows and Windows Phone, our media capture initialization is fairly simple. We create this new media capture object, we initialize it as an async, and then we take a XAML element, the preview element.source, and we say that source is our media capture object, and then, okay, media capture, start your preview. Compare this to all the code we had in Silverlight, and then we still have in Silverlight 8.1, where we have media capture, we initialize it, and we get a preview sync, we have a video brush, okay. We have video device control. It's a lot more code. It is a less straightforward API for getting that image, that live camera feed into XAML, into the XAML UI, into the application. And then once we have that applied to the XAML, once we have that preview inside of our application, we can capture a photo fairly straightforwardly. We construct some image encoding properties, 640 by 480, seems like a nice picture size. And then we can we get a new folder by grabbing a known library, or a known folder, a library, basically any sort of storage folder that we want to use. We can take and create a file inside of there, and then use that media capture object to create the photo capture that photo to a storage file. Now, in this instance, we're using known folders, but as I said, you can use any storage folder. You could save it just strictly to your local storage for your application, or you can store it to any of the known folders, the pictures folder, or the camera roll folder. We support hardware button. The hardware camera buttons, both the camera half pressed, which is usually used to initiate focus, and then the full press, which is usually used to capture the video, or capture the photo. Recording and playing a video is actually pretty similar to taking a picture. We have a media encoding profile instead of an image encoding one. But it's the same thing. We grab some storage file, in this case our videos library, our known folders videos library, and we just take our media capture object and we start recording. We have to, with video, obviously, we have to stop recording. So we've got a method for that, stop record async. And when that is, when that recording is done, we can just take that stream that we get from the video file that we had created and set it as the source in our playback element. Changing the camera parameters, which can be done real time, is as simple as in this case, we've got a slider XAML control, and we've just connected those slider that slider XAML control to the properties inside of our zoom control. And so in this case, we'd be using the slider to zoom in and out dynamically. We'd be able to see all of these changes inside of the preview in our XAML. Which brings us to our next demo. Which is basic capturing. We'll stop our last demo. Okay. Make sure I've got my okay. And what we've got here is we've got the option to do a photo page or video page. So we're going to take a quick look backstage. Oh, but first, we're going to look at what the initialization looks like here. So we're initializing, like we said, we're creating our media capture object. We initialize it. We set our primary use to be photo instead of video. Then we set our image encoding properties. And we launch our media capture. We press continue. And this is a backstage look, our fantastic team here. And when I hit capture photo, we open up, it's opening up our pictures library, it's creating a new file. And I'm gonna have to hold it up because I hit pause here, or I hit that, we hit continue. It took a picture. It saved a picture over here on the side. And we can actually do the same thing with our video.
Yay!
And you see, we're looking at the exact same thing, where we've got a camera capture that initializes. Oh. And then we are going to... okay, so that camera capture initialized, it's going to the same file we had before. We're going to start the video recording, give it a video storage file, start the recording, hit continue. And here we have our video recording. When I hit record, it's going to hit that breakpoint again to start the video recording. We'll get rid of that. Hit play. And now we're recording. As we look around the studio, and when we, come on. There we go. Now we're recording as we look around the studio. I just put breakpoints in everywhere. And we can stop video recording.
There we go. Now we're recording.
And we can even hear me saying all these great things. When we stop video recording, it's the easiest thing in the world. Nope. We basically just tell our media capture object, stop recording, and because we've already given it a file to record to, it simply saves that file out. Now, one thing I want to make note of is that this is a universal application. But what's really interesting about this universal application is what's inside of it, which is nothing. There are no files inside of our Windows folder. There are no files inside of our Windows Phone project. Every single file in here is in the shared folder from, let's not move things around here, is inside the shared folder from the app.xaml to the camera capture helper that we've been using, the photo capture page, the video capture page. All of this is cross-platform.
That's a
truly universal application. Yeah. Yeah. So, and if we run this on Windows 8.1, set that as our startup project and get rid of all these all these breakpoints. My laptop is actually down here, and I'm remote desktoping into it. And so, hi everybody. But that's exactly the same XAML, exactly all the same code from beginning to end that we're using on our Windows Phone application as our Windows application.
So cool stuff, isn't it? Everybody likes messing with cameras.
Right, yeah. Cameras are fun. Yeah. It turns everybody into a celebrity. So advanced capturing, this is stuff that's going to be a little bit more phone specific, because the phone is better than a point and shoot. So we've shipped the windows.media.capture.core with some phone-only APIs. These are available on Silverlight as well as the Windows Runtime phone apps. And the coolest one of these, or one of the coolest ones of these, is the variable photo sequence capture. And this is a burst shot with variable parameters for each photo. So if you're familiar with HDR lighting scenarios, the idea of HDR is that you have a set of different exposure levels that you can combine to create this sort of bigger than real life photo. And you can do stuff like that by using this burst mode and just resetting all of your exposure levels for each new image. So in addition to regular photo video capturing, we have a really cool new API for screen capturing. And this is great because when we look at the code for this, this is really, really simple, really fun, and it's something that we might be able to use in an engaging way with our users, or if we have an application that's drawing something cool or a game that's doing something cool, we can invoke the camera, the screen capture, in order to show what's happening on our screen. So when we launch the screen recorder, it asks approval for user approval on the first time that they use it. And personal information like notifications and DRM content is interestingly left out. Mm-hmm. And so you'll just see the area go black if a notification comes in, so you don't have to worry about your personal information being accidentally screen recorded. Huh. So the screen capture is this. We create a screen capture object by simply calling the screen capture API, screencapture.getForCurrentView. Then that media capture that we'd been using to do media capture for photos and videos, it's the same object. We take that media capture and we simply initialize it with the source of our screen capture as the video and audio source. Then we can create the video encoding profile, which is usually we're going to want video encoding quality at VGA. We're going to want to create an MP4. And then it's this familiar pattern that we've seen. Give it a folder, give it a file to save to, and then tell the media capture object, okay, start recording to that storage file. It's the exact same, wow, that exact same thing we used to do the video recording inside of our application.
That's really cool and really simple. Huh?
Oh, it's a really simple API,
yeah.
And it's a really simple demo, which we've seen today. I need simple demos, because otherwise I'm just going to mess it up. So, so here's the screen capture, and I feel really redundant here because all of this was just in the slide that I just showed you, but we're gonna see that hit when we run this application and we start recording the screen. Okay, so I've put a big red block around this, so it'll be a little more visible when we start recording, but we'll hit record. And we see our screen capture starts. Continue, okay, and I'm just gonna type my first name, my last name, and my handle, okay. And then I'm gonna stop recording. And it's gonna break on me. Or something. I'm not sure what just happened there. Let's try that again. We're gonna try that one more time. Okay. Hit record. And I've got a very funny name this time. and a fantastic handle.
You're not seeing the screen up at the moment.
Oh, sorry. Okay. It should be recording. We stop recording. And there is my video object. And it's flickering for the first time that I've ever seen this happen. But we can actually record this fantastic video flicker.
That's cool. It's yeah. Just, like you said, for bug reporting or something.
Yeah, and now we have this sort of picture-in-picture, and we can record that picture-in-picture.
But, of course, the real use case for this is in games, huh? You know, where I think I was saying on the very introductory session, like
right.
the key, you know, you got the thing like somebody's in a game and they're about to get through a level, you
right.
can turn on screen recording, and when they've had their big triumph, you can share the video of their amazing gameplay with their friends.
And what's really neat about that is the fact that because you only require user permission the first time, you could just say up front, hey, I would like permission to record the screen. They say yes, you take a 1 second video that you then throw away, and you use that so that every time they get to something that's particularly cool, the end of a level, the big boss, you just turn it on.
And when silently turn it on.
Yeah, silently turn it on, and then when they're done, you say, hey, that was really awesome, would you like to rewatch it? Would you like to share it with
your
friends?
That wouldn't be a good experience if they're just about to bust through a level.
Right.
Do you have permission to record this?
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
It's a really simple API. It's really powerful, and it's just a lot of fun to play with. So, did I actually kick myself out of my presentation? Okay. Screen recording, and now video editing. This is just a fun session. It's just fun to run through this stuff. So. This is Windows Phone only, but we have windows.media.editing. And this allows us to build these sort of easy video editing applications. Simple scenarios like video trimming, and even we can do complex timeline editing applications. It's available in Silverlight, available in Windows Runtime. In addition to just doing the editing, we can pull thumbnails or stills out of our video. We can change the volume, we can add audio to the end result of the video clip that we've edited together. We can pull these multiple video clips, kind of smush them together and render them all out. And it'll render the resulting video very much like we render the simple capture video, just using to that storage file using that media capture API. So to implement that simple video editor, we're going to see a lot more code here. We use a media composition, the media composition API, and we can grab a bunch of video files at one time. We'll actually use the file. We would actually use the file open picker, and in a multi-select mode to grab those multiple media files. We'll create a clip from each one of those media files. We'll create a thumbnail for each one of those clips. We can set that thumbnail to some UI source that we can navigate between the different clips that we've created. And then we can just add those video clips to a view model and use that. We could use that view model to apply all of those images to some sort of list control so that we can show all of our clips maybe in a grid view so that they're easy to navigate, easy to select. The actual trimming part of it is, again, really, really simple. We grab one of our video clips. We say trim the time from start, and we give it some amount of time. We can say trim the time from the end, and we give it some amount of time. And it will take the beginning of that clip, trim that amount of time from it, and basically start. If we trim from start, it'll start 1 second in. If we trim from end, it'll end 2 seconds earlier. Pretty simple. We can add some background music or a background track to our resulting video by pulling in some sort of music file that exists inside of our storage system, and simply creating the background audio track from that file. And then we apply that background audio track to the media composition using their background audio tracks. .add. So it's a pretty self-explanatory API, which is kind of nice. It's fairly simple. All the operations that we're trying to do on it are fairly easy. Trim this, trim that, add the background audio.
Give that API designer a pat on the back.
Right. And then to play it back and to render it out, to play it back, we have these media elements. These are XAML elements for media playback. We just take that media element and set the media stream source to our composition, preview media stream source. And then for the output file, once again, grab a library, create a file, give it an encoding profile, and then render that file out. We have a couple of little options. The media trimming preference, you can either say, I want this at high quality, or I want this to go very, I want the render to happen quickly. So, we'll look at video editing, and this is the demo where I get to play the irritating parent who shows everybody videos of my kids.
Oh.
Yeah, isn't that great? it's hard because you don't want to show, you don't want to stream something over the internet that you have no rights to. And so my children have no rights. Okay, so we're launching this pick multiple files and continue. And this is from our file open picker. Right? Yeah. So we create our new file open picker, same one we've been using all this time. And we're just going to pick multiple files from it. And we're going to grab a couple of video files here. And when they come in, we're going to create a clip of each of them and add that clip to our media composition. So we're immediately creating a media composition that has all of these clips back to back to back. Then we create a thumbnail for each one of these media clips, and then we add that thumbnail and the video file to something that we're going to be able to select inside of our UI.
Yeah, some object here.
And then immediately we're going to start playback. So everything's going to start playing right now.
Go.
So this is my little girl trying to help daddy with his work. And when I try to trim it, we're using that real simple trim API. So I'm going to skip past and try to trim this as quickly as possible so that we can jump past some of this. We see exactly the same thing. We trim the time from the end. And then the one thing that we're also doing is we're repositioning that media element so that it shows us the media clip again so that we get a preview of the trim that we just made.
So you trim and then...
Yeah, we trim, start it over. What's the media clip look like? Trim it again, start it over. Okay, so here she is. There's media clip one and media clip two. And media clip three. All right, and then when we're all done, it'll just cycle back around. It'll start the whole process all over again. And so this is all one media composition. We could just take this right now, render it out to a file, but we're going to add some audio to the background first. You can see this is actually an audio object that's in our installed. We loaded it with the application in our installed location. And we just get it like we would get any other file. And we create a background audio from that file. So this is just an MP3 we packaged with our app. And it's a couple of lines of code, and we've added as a background audio track. So now we've got this nice little audio track. We've got our trimmed video files. And we can now save this to our library. And now if we tried to look inside of our library, did I miss something there? No? Okay, that should have saved to my media library, and I'll have to find out why. Yeah, it could be that it just took longer than I expected it to, and then when I jumped in the media library, it hadn't saved yet. So I'm going to stop the application. Sorry about that. And let's see if it ended up saving. And it did. This is actually a new file right there that I had. You can hear the, hopefully hear the audio come off of that. And this is just the file that I just created and saved out to the video folder.
Hey, I see your daughter had one of those little plastic Windows phones.
Yes, from Mix 2011, I think.
Collector's pieces. No, they're not, actually. Yeah. There's thousands of them.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's a video editing. That's audio and audio adding and video rendering out using the media composition API.
Cool stuff.
And so the last element, this has been a bit of a whirlwind, but I think I'm actually on track with time.
For the first time today.
Which is pretty exciting. Woo. Give me a hand.
There's a stressed team at the back there. I think, well, one of them can do this right. Time. Oh, my goodness.
Right. We're like, can we have another day in the studio?
No.
So background audio playback. We've got a new API in Windows runtime, Windows Phone XAML applications for windows.media.backgroundPlayback. And the Media Player class replaces the background audio player. And this is available for Windows Phone XAML applications, but not in Silverlight 8.1 applications.
Yeah. But Silverlight 8.1 can still use the... No, they can't.
We'll get there.
I'm trying to remember my own slides from
right.
Tomorrow.
So the media player uses this two-process model, foreground UI and background playback. And the playback continues in the background process when the app navigates away. But it can also be used in the foreground for playback even without the media element. So this is different than the Windows 8.1 model, which uses a media element audio category. We actually use a background audio player. We have to make sure that we've defined our background tasks appropriately. You go and create a new background task and say, this is an application that's going to use an audio background tasks. So if you don't do that, you'll get that happy unauthorized access exception. So the process for communication via the background media player is to send a message to the background or send a message to the foreground. This allows us to communicate to the background media player with UI whether or not we're inside the application. Because the background media player makes use of the native media player UI when it's playing in the background. So the same UI that you would see when you're playing music from your Xbox music application. Which is this, the universal volume control, system media transport controls. It's just access to the device's universal volume control and allows us to find which buttons are going to be enabled on this as it controls the audio from our application. So the code for implementing background audio is fairly straightforward. We have that background media player, and it's been fairly well designed so that we are listening for that current state change. We always want to know when the state has changed from play to pause to stop. We set the URI source, and we can set this source to either a local package. So we're in the demo, we're actually going to pull the exact same file from the application installed folder that we did with the video editing API. And we're just load it right into our background media player as a URI. And then the background media player can play it, or we can even trigger it to autoplay. We can pause it, and we can stop it. Updating the UI in the media player is fairly simple. If you see, we're listening for that media player state changed event handler, and when it does change, it's coming in on the background, remember that. So we're using the dispatcher to jump ourselves over to the UI thread, and then we're going to look at that background media player and say, what is my current state? And if we're playing, we're going to make sure that our UI is enabled for the playing scenario. If we're paused, we're going to make sure our UI is enabled for the pause scenario. If we're paused, we probably want to start playing. If we're playing, we probably want to start pausing it. And then hooking it up into that universal volume control and the media transport controls is something we do inside of that background instance. We just look for the current system media transport controls, and we add an event handler for when the button is pressed.
So this is where the user kind of presses the volume up, down, and brings down the transient UI, and you see,
yep.
you see the, you know, you can stop, pause, and...
Yeah, this is all the shell UI.
Shell UI for doing
And we have to run that in a background, in the background, because our application has been suspended.
Sure.
It's not in the foreground, and so we have to have that background task to listen for those.
Okay.
And then on that message received, we can do the when the element has changed, or when the playback has changed, we can integrate into that media control and display things like title and artist and just update all the information inside of the media control. Okay, so I now have two resource-heavy Visual Studio projects up. We're going to pull up another one. This one for background audio. And hopefully we're getting nice and tired of that that one audio file that we have permissions to play over the internet. But we can run the application. And that you can't read that, but it says this page is intentionally left blank.
And unreadable.
And unreadable.
Left
right.
Unreadable. Yeah.
So we hit the play button. You see we've got our background media player. It's going to start playing, and in fact it already has. And so you can hear it. And now if we hit the Windows button, it's still playing. If we hit the volume up here, you see that we're integrating with that transient media control. We can hit the pause button. And if we hit that pause button, the state has changed. So if we go back into our application, we see that our UI is updated back to making the play button visible and the pause button, or the play button enabled and the pause button disabled. So, summary. This is where we get to talk about namespaces. I know this is what everybody's been waiting for, the namespace conversation. Okay.
I've been missing these namespaces. Slides. We really
this is actually,
that.
There's a lot of information on here, but it's actually a little cleaner than you might think.
Uh-huh.
With Windows Phone 8, we had the photo chooser task and the XNA media library for getting photos and storing photos. Now, if you look across, those libraries are still in place for Windows Phone 8.1 Silverlight. You see the media chooser library, XNA media library. Below them, we also have the file open picker in Windows Phone 8.1 Silverlight and the known folders. So we can use those to get photos as well. And we have those moving forward into Windows Phone 8.1 XAML and in Windows 8.1. So that file open picker is file open picker and file save pickers. Those are the ways that we get photos, we get videos, we store photos, we store videos for everything that isn't old Windows Phone 8. Now, in addition to that, we have camera capture UI for Windows 8.1, which is just an additional UI control that we can launch inside of our application to do this capture. That's Windows 8.1 only. In terms of capturing, here are the capture capabilities, or the capture namespaces and capabilities. Windows Phone 8, there is one option. There is windows.phone.media.capture. It's available in Windows Phone 8 and nowhere else. For everything else, we're going to want to use the windows.media.capture. That means for Windows Phone 8.1 Silverlight, Windows Phone 8.1 XAML, and Windows 8.1. Windows Phone 8.1 Silverlight and XAML, so all of the Windows Phone 8.1 applications are going to be able to use that variable photo sequence capture that we talked about earlier, as well as the screen capture, but it's not available either on Windows Phone 8.0 or Windows 8.1. And then the media editing, the media editing is Windows Phone only. This is one of those kind of, I think Andy mentioned it, pre-converged sort of APIs.
We've converged ahead of Windows.
We've converged ahead of Windows, yeah. Where it's come to the Windows Phone, both Silverlight and XAML applications, but it's not yet in the Windows 8.1 version. However, we do have this the windows.media.transcoding, so we can take those video files that we've captured, and we can transcode them, save them out as new video files. And lastly, this is the fun, tricky one, the background audio. We have the background playback that I just demoed is available in Windows Phone 8.1 XAML only. That is the only place it exists. For Windows Phone 8, we had Microsoft.phone.backgroundaudio, but that did not come in to Windows Phone 8.1 Silverlight. So if you are building a Silverlight application and you want to use background audio, you need to stick with Windows Phone 8 for now. If you want to use the background playback API, you're moving to...
But it's worth reminding everybody that if you build for an app targeted at Windows Phone 8, that will run on Windows Phone 8.1.
Yes,
you just
absolutely
can't use any of the all the new Windows Runtime APIs in that.
Right, yeah. Right, yes. What Andy said.
Yeah.
And so, and then the there's an additional, the media item element audio category, background capable media. That's background audio for Windows 8.1. And so that exists only in Windows 8.1. So that's kind of, hopefully, that was a reasonable explanation of the various namespaces that we have for all of our media capture and media storage and background audio and video editing. There's a lot in here. But it's really fun to work with, it's very exciting, and it gives us a lot of capabilities and control when it comes to these really fantastic media scenarios across the Windows platform. So, that's our whirlwind tour.
All right.
And we're going to take a little bit of a break, and we're going to come back with Enterprise.
Yeah, and a guest speaker. But actually, we also need to announce something now, because we are a bit behind schedule. What we have decided we're going to have to do is the last session that was scheduled for today, which was a short session on tools. We're going to move that on and run that now first thing tomorrow morning for us, clearly. I really apologize if that's the one session you've been waiting for and you've kind of been waiting up late in Europe or something and it's like small hours in the morning. But we do apologize for that, but we're kind of, you know, loads of content and we're struggling to teach you go through all of the great stuff that's in Windows Phone 8.1. So we are going to push that on, that session. The tools session will now be the first one tomorrow morning. Apologize for that if that's the one you're waiting for. But we are going to finish today's content with a long session, good session looking at Windows Phone 8.1 for the enterprise developer, and then a short look at programming with SQLite.
Woo!
Yeah.